Let us turn now for a little to consider some words that we find in the Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 105, where we commenced our reading. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now you cannot possibly read through the Psalm 119 and not become aware of how important the word of God was to the psalmist. There is a variety of expressions used in this psalm by the psalmist to express what the word of God meant to him personally from various viewpoints. The law of God, the commandments of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, and so on. And in this verse before us, he has this unique description that he gives to the word of God. Thy word is a lamp. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And you will see in verse 130 of this psalm that the psalmist speaks this way for a reason. In verse 130 he says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. You can see the connection, no doubt, in the mind of the psalmist. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, it's a light unto my path. But how do I experience the enlightening power of the word, the entrance or the opening up, the understanding of thy words? That's what gives light. You might go into some homes where there are articles from past generations. For example, we have in the manse a couple of lights, old oil lamps that are considered to be antiques. They are really of no real practical use. There was a time when they were very useful, no doubt, but they are now just ornamental in reality. And so they don't give any light. There's just that awareness of how it was in a past generation, how useful it was, but it is really of no practical use now. Sadly, you see, that's the way it is with the Word of God. This generation does have a certain, perhaps Christians have a certain appreciation for the Word of God. And you will hear sometimes people say, well, I love that old Bible. That was my grandmother's Bible. I love that book because my father used to read from it. And I have been in homes where people have shown me a particular Bible. And then they, with great delight, they say, well, that's the name of my grandfather that's inscribed there. My grandmother, that was given to them by the minister when he got married and so on. They have this sentimental value that they attach to the Word of God, but that's basically all it is. I was speaking quite recently to a minister who was lamenting the spiritual state of some of the members of his congregation, and he said, remember what it is like when members don't read the Word of God, and yet they are members. And he said, imagine a 66-year-old man coming on the telephone to say to me, Pastor, can you give me a text of scripture that would comfort me? I don't read my Bible myself, so I really don't know where to go. Could you give me a text to comfort me? Now, if that is how some of the people professing the name of Christ are, it is little wonder the church is in the mess that it is in. The psalmist says here, thy word is of vital importance to me because it is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And it's the entrance of that word. It's the movement of that word out of the page into my heart that gives light. It moves out from between the covers, and it moves into my mind, and it moves into my heart, and it affects my thinking, and it affects my lifestyle and my conduct and my behavior, because it is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, you and I, when we consider the word of God, it will have a particular value to ourselves. And that's what we want to consider. If we do value the word of God, why do we value it? Why do we value it? What does it really mean? How much do we use it? Now, the first thing that we would note in considering these words is this, that by the way that the psalmist refers to the word of God in his own experience, it is obvious that implied in his words is the concept of spiritual progress. He says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. My feet are in a path. My feet are going somewhere. I am moving. I'm journeying. I'm in a path. And of course, that is perfectly understandable in the teaching of the Savior himself. He says that we are to strive to enter in at the straight gate and to make sure we're on the narrow path, because there is a broad way that leads to destruction. And he says there's many on that pathway. That's a popular road that many are traveling on. But he says there is a narrow path, and it is a very different path, and it can be a very difficult path and a very lonely path. And therefore, the child of God traveling along that path needs divine assistance. And that's what we should know. If we are to make spiritual progress, we need divine assistance. We will not make progress in our own strength or relying on our own wisdom or depending upon the arm of flesh. And that is why then the psalmist speaks as he does here, drawing attention to the great provision God has made for him. Notice what he says, thy word. Thy word. He is referring to the divine word of God, the revelation of God that he has spoken to men. Thy word, not my word, not the word of men, but thy word, which excludes all the other words. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And again, when we go over to verse 130, the entrance of thy words. Now, of course, when the psalmist is referring to the word in the singular and then words in the plural, he's really referring to all the words that make up the entire revelation of God. The entrance of thy words, even one word, it has light in it. When God speaks, one word even, there is light in it, and it is sent by God for a purpose. You see in verse 133, what the petition of the psalmist is: order my steps in thy word. Order my steps. Now, why would the psalmist make a petition like that to God? Telling God, order, or pleading with God, praying, order my steps in thy word. Well, human nature being what it is, we don't want our steps to be ordered in the word of God. We go astray from the very womb. The prophet had to say of Israel of old, and including himself, all we like sheep, what have we done? We have gone astray. Our steps are not according to the word of God, as we are in a state of nature. And if we tonight are here and we have grace in our souls and we believe there's been any saving work done in our souls, we will know this, that there had to come about a change of direction. And we had to turn our feet in a new direction from what we were going in. But this is what we have to learn. We have a straying nature. And we can very easily wander out of the way. And we have great need then that God will keep his hand upon us and that God will order our steps in his word. We will not just walk by the light of the word, as it were. We will actually walk in the word. Now, do we know what the difference is? You see, when we take God's word to direct us, we walk in the light of that word. But when we walk in the word, that's a different exercise. We're getting into the word, we're reading it, and we're walking through it, we're journeying through it, we're journeying into the mind of God himself. Walking in the word. That's what we ought to be doing, journeying into the word and journeying through the word. And like any other journey that we take in this world, well, we view the countryside or the architecture around us. Every step is a revelation, as it were, of new scenery and new things to be observed. And as we walk through the word, we discover there are new things to be discovered and to be marveled at and to be wondered at. That's the exercise of the child of God. But what a provision it is. God, when we go back to the Garden of Eden, when the serpent came to Eve, what did he say to Eve? Hath God said? Hath God said? And of course, when he asked that question, the response from Eve then was a clear indication she didn't give enough attention to what God had said. And so she partially conveyed to the serpent, Satan, partially the truth. It was but partial truth. It wasn't the whole truth. And it gave the serpent the advantage then to get in and to operate upon her mind to actually question anything that God had said. And so she did not take, neither did Adam, of course, when he took the fruit from Eve, our first parents. What did they fail to do? They failed to take God's word. God said, you shall not eat. That was his word. And they failed to walk in that light. And what happened? We know the results, the sad consequences of not taking what God had said as a lamp to their feet and a light unto their path. Now, this, the psalmist acknowledges, is a great mercy. It is an evidence of the grace of God, the marvelous grace of God. Because when God spoke to our first parents and they disobeyed and they rebelled against God and they set his holy authority and his commandment to the side, they dismissed it. Then what happened? You and I are the recipients of the fruits of the fall. Because of one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned, and we all have, as Paul says, sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yet, here's the psalmist saying, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. God is still giving his word. He's still speaking. God, when he drove our first parents out of the garden, he could have abandoned Adam and Eve, never spoken again, left them to their own devices. But we see God speaking. You hear the sound of his voice. You hear him calling to Cain. God calling to Cain. He still speaks, though he's been, his word has been treated abusively and with such disrespect. God still speaks. And what a marvel it is. Whenever any one of us are able to say, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, to think that God still does speak. And those who are the Lord's people, when they look back upon the Lord's dealings with them, they sometimes begin to quake when they think of how they disregarded God's word. How when he spoke to them and he convicted them of their sin, and he issued warnings to them through his word, and they didn't pay heed and they didn't pay attention. And maybe they suffered the consequences, and they marvel that God didn't leave them or abandon them or forsake them, that he came again and he spoke to them, and he renewed perhaps his warnings, and he issued afresh his commandments to direct them in the way that was right. And they marvel that they still have God speaking to them. In the Psalm 28 there, we have the psalmist, in the very opening verse of that psalm, David is crying unto the Lord, and this is what he says here, verse 1. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock, be not silent to me. What a prayer. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down unto the pit. When last did you pray that prayer? Be not silent to me. When last, when you were opening up the pages of this book, did you pray, O God, be not silent to me. Speak through these pages to me. Speak through these words to me. Make thy word now to be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Be not silent unto me. I perish if I do not hear thy voice. Isn't it amazing but extremely sad when those who profess the name of Jesus Christ can go on day after day, week after week, month after month perhaps, and you ask, when last did you hear the voice of God? And they don't know. Be not silent unto me, the psalmist prays. It was as though there is nothing so important, nothing so precious, nothing that I desire so much as to hear thy voice, to know that the lines of communication are open between God and my soul. And here the psalmist is aware that he's hearing God speaking to him through his word. And he recognizes what a blessing it is. This is God's provision. What will happen to me if God doesn't speak? What will become of me if I do not hear his voice? If he is silent to me, where do I go? What other voice can I listen to? What other voice will ever guide me like the voice of God? But another matter that we must note is this, that this word of which the psalmist speaks, it is provided by God. It's God's great provision, but it is provided for a practical use. It is for a practical use. Now, you will find the word of God is used by people for all kinds of reasons. Some are interested in the historical facts that are recorded. There are historians and they will study ancient literature and ancient documents and archaeology and so on. And they will include the Bible in these documents that they will read and study. But it is not for spiritual nourishment. And there are those, and they will take up the word of God to dispute about its theology and the doctrines that are taught. And they will argue about whether man is a free will or his will is in bondage. And they will debate about Calvinism and Arminianism and Presbyterianism or Congregationalism. And they will have large and extensive, non-ending debates about the content of the Word of God. But for the simple, ordinary Christian, to them, the Bible has been given to them by God for actual, practical use. They're not interested in many of the great intellectual debates and arguments. To them, they have a treasure that God has given them. And the psalmist says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. This is how I use the word of God. This is how I personally use God's word. I use it as a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that is, in reality, how we should use the word of God. It is to be a lamp to enlighten us, to guide us, to protect us, to preserve us from danger. And the psalmist, he doesn't just say, thy word is a lamp. It's a wonderful lamp. It's a marvelous source of light. No, he says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Whatever others do with thy word, however they treat it or however they use it or feel to use it, this is what I know. It's the word of God that shines on my feet, my actions, my movements as the child of God. It is the word that shines on my path day by day. Every day you and I set out into the world, we're treading a path of uncertainty. As one of the philosophers in the past said, the only certain thing in this world is uncertainty. And that is how it is. We start every day not knowing what a day is going to bring forth. And the psalmist was no different. But this is what he did know. I will walk in the word, and I will take the word to guide me today. And he was looking to the Lord to order his steps. His steps. Every step was a tiny portion, as it were, of the journey. And you see, a step can take us very easily in the right direction, but very easily in the wrong direction. And a man standing on the edge of a precipice, all he has to do is take one step beyond the edge, and that's enough to bring about his death. One step can be very, very vital, either to ruin or to progress. And the psalmist is asking God, order my steps. He's asking God to take control, not leave him to himself, but to order his footsteps in the truth. Now, the reason, of course, that God has made this provision is because of who his children are. When Paul writes to the Colossians, he reminds them that they have been brought out of darkness, and they've been brought from under the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, and they are the children, as he says to the Ephesians, they are the children of light. And when we go to the first epistle, general of John, you see in the first chapter of his first epistle how important it is that we walk in the light. In verse 5 of 1 John 1, we read, this then is the message which we have heard of him, heard of Christ, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. What's John saying? It doesn't matter what anyone professes. It doesn't matter what claims they make. If they do not walk in the light of God, they're lying. Their witness is false. He says, if we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not the truth. Now let me ask you something. How will any son or daughter of Adam's race walk if left to themselves? They will not walk in any other atmosphere. They will not walk in any other experience but that of darkness. But Paul says, you are the children of light. And as here John tells us, in God is no darkness at all. And if then we have fellowship with him, we cannot possibly walk in darkness. Now, you might think to yourself, well, what about when Isaiah said, if any who fear the Lord and keep his commandments, if they walk in darkness, what are they to do? They're to trust the Lord. But you see, we have to understand what darkness, the nature of the darkness of which here we're speaking. There is a difference between the darkness and providence that God sends to his children sometimes, dark providences, and the clouds gather, and they've no light. He that hath no light. That's an experience that the children of God really know about, and they don't consider it to be a very comfortable experience, but they know the reality of it. Let him trust in the Lord. But that is a completely different thing from walking in the darkness of sin. Walking in the darkness without the word of God giving light. It is setting aside the light, neglecting the light, dismissing the light, throwing the light away. And if you can imagine the psalmist, if he says to himself, decides, I don't want the word as a lamp anymore. I don't need it to shine in my feet or my path. I'm dismissing it. I'm discarding it. Well, where's he going to be? In darkness. He's going to be in darkness. Whether he knows it or not, that's going to be his experience. And therefore, when the psalmist says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, he's putting God's word to very practical use and very personal use. The psalmist says, it's a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light unto my path. I personally make use of it. Many a man might have a lamp or a light that he doesn't actually personally make use of. He may own it. It may be conveniently near to him. But if he doesn't use it, it's of no practical use. And if it is necessary that he should use it, what does he do? He only endangers himself. Because you see, the purpose of this word, it's a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, so that it prevents me from stumbling, it prevents me from injuring myself, doing myself harm, like the two little friends, and they were quite interested in natural life, and they decided one evening to go out into the wooded area near their home, to see if they could see the squirrels in the pine trees and so on. Out they went, and they had their torches, their lamps with them. And as they were moving around through the trees, suddenly one of them let out a yell, and he stumbled, and he fell, and he had a great gash on his leg. Because he had been caught in a branch, he had fell over it, and it had cut his leg open. His little friend gathered him up and helped him as best he could. And when they managed to make it home to their mother, She said, what happened? And how on earth did this happen? You both had lights with you. How could you do this? And the little fellow looked up. He said, Mom, yes, I had a light. But I was shining it in the wrong direction. My light was up into the trees. And I didn't see the path in front of me. And so often you see that's what happens. Why do we stumble? We've got the light. We've got the protection, as it were. We've got what will keep us in safety, but we don't use it aright. It isn't that we just naturally neglect it even. We use it, but we don't use it aright. How do we use it? We use it to shine in the direction of others. Shine the light onto his life or her life, to his actions, to her words. We're shining it everywhere. And it's very interesting what we discover, perhaps, but all the time we're threatening ourselves, we're in danger because we're not shining it unto our own feet and our own path to make sure we're in the right path. What happens? We go for a tumble. That's why the psalmist says, thy word, I make use of it. It is a lamp and it's God's provision. And I make use of it to keep me from stumbling, to keep me from falling. Do we do that? Do we fear if I do not adhere to God's word? If I don't take God's holy word as a lamp to my feet, personally, my path, the devil is going to lay a snare somewhere and I'll walk straight into it. The devil is going ahead. And he's going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he intends, just as he did with Simon Peter, Satan hath desired to have you. My, how differently we would think and approach each day if we even had this thought for a moment. Satan hath desired to have you. Now, Jesus, when he spoke to Simon Peter, he was referring to a particular night. This is the night that Satan desires to have you. And he's going to work tonight to cause you to stumble. Little wonder Peter went out into that night and wept. And it was because the Savior had prayed for him. He didn't perish. I have prayed for thee that thy faith, however fragile, however fickle, it will not fail. But the Savior knew, and Simon Peter would know for the rest of his life. My, the devil was laying a snare for me that night, and I didn't even suspect it. And how he goes about doing this again and again. And some of the Lord's dear people in their own personal experience, at the end of some days, they're very well aware the devil got the upper hand today. I stumbled right into a snare. And why? I should have listened to the word of God. I should have listened to God's guiding voice. But this word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, the psalmist said. And it was very unique, very special, because It was God's word. Thy word. Well, what is special about God's word? Heaven and earth may pass away, but not one jot or tittle of God's word shall pass away. It's the eternal, unchanging word, and it is a lamp, and it doesn't become darkness. It is a lamp in every generation, in every situation, to every one of God's children. And therefore that leaves us without excuse. When we go stumbling in the darkness, we can't blame God. And we can't say, well, God left me to myself. No, thy word is eternally settled, the psalmist said. Thy word doesn't change. Thy word is eternal. It's immutable. It's infallible. It's inspired. Thy word. Men's words are so unreliable. They're so contradictory. But the word of God, as you go through this psalm, you see the psalmist referring to it. Thy word is pure, therefore thy servant puts his trust in it, and so on. And this is how blessed in every generation, every child of God, in their own personal path. And they may appreciate, well, in my providences, my path is different to his. In my providences, my path is very different to hers. My path is a difficult path. My path is a thorny path. My path is a lonely path. It's an uphill path. But thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And therefore I can walk surely. I can walk with confidence, and as I take God's word, then I can walk in security. And it is that word that will keep me from stumbling and will prevent Satan from getting the mastery over me. Now then, as we come to a conclusion, can we honestly say, when we open up the word of God in our own private times or whatever, can we turn to God and say, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and then have God acknowledge that. That God will then make his word a lamp, and he will make it a light. Because God is then hearing from ourselves that we do appreciate his word, that we want to walk in the light. We don't want to walk in darkness. We don't want to stumble. Thy word, just think of those two words. Thy word. What does it mean to us? What does it mean to yourself? What does it mean to me? Thy word, is it precious to us? Is it something we rely upon? Is it that which we're trusting in, that we've confidence in? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And you see, even in the experience of the Savior, that's how it was. You remember when he, after his baptism, he's led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when Satan came along with his ensnaring questions and his suggestions, what did the Savior do? He always turned to the word itself. He would quote the scriptures. He would not depart from the light of the word of God, even though he himself was the word made flesh. As a man, he walked amidst temptations. How did he overcome them? He took the word as a lamp to his feet, and he obeyed the commandments of that word. He walked in the light, and he put Satan to flight. If the Savior was able to make use of the word to that extent, how much more you and I need to use it, because in him there was no sin. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Yet he followed the light of the word. Well, when you and I discover who we are, the danger we're in, the kind of inclinations we have within us by nature, we will know and we will pray like the psalmist, be not silent to me. Be not silent. Speak to me. Speak to me now through thy word as I open it. As I read it, speak to me and guide me for thy glory and for my good. May God bless these remarks.